welcome into the latest episode of the League of Ordinary Gentlemen, week three edition with week two reviews. So we'll start off by welcoming in all of our co-hosts here. We'll start with our producer, Zeke.
What up, Doe?
Sean Guida.
Made my money go fashion way, getting hit by Alexis.
And our actual real researcher, Doug Appleby.
Yeah. Don't know anything about money from Alexis, but should be a fun week.
And of course, I'm Tim Guida. But anyway, we're going to get started to let you guys know ahead of time that, hey, we just started a Twitter. So you can, a Twitter. That makes me sound terrible. We just started a Twitter. So at TLOOG1, if you want to follow us or get whatever kind of content that we're going to end up retweeting or making fun of. It's been fun so far, so follow us. Also, heck, if you're going to listen to our podcast every week, hit subscribe, give us 5 stars. Let's just see how many people will listen to this thing. So anyhow,
let's get famous.
Oh yeah, let's get famous. Why not? See if we can get somebody to pay us to talk about their product on this.
The American dream.
The American dream. So we're going to start off with, I'm making a scoring change based on the votes of the four people around this table because it makes sense. As of right now, kickers are getting penalized way too much on missed field goals, as in they're getting penalized 1 point for missing, and then they're getting penalized additional points for missing certain kicks distances. So what we're going to do is we're just going to say if you miss a under 50-yard field goal, we have a child in the room. So, excuse me.
You said missing.
So we have a minus one for anything under 50. Anything over 50 is just going to be an even scoring. You don't miss out on anything. So we're just going to make that. We're going to try to boost scoring a little bit. So it should be fun.
Sorry, that wasn't funny?
But it was moderately funny.
Missing pro goals?
We're just mature enough to be able to move past it, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, if you've never been to anything that has to do with our league whatsoever, you may believe
we're totally
comment.
Serious about everything. Didn't you learn that last week when we didn't laugh at your joke? So
hey, I got something fun to start the show out with.
Go for it.
Yeah, what is Sean's favorite thing of the week?
So I want to start. I think it'd be good for us to bring like a best thing that we saw this week. I had two. The first thing I was going to say was Vontae Davis quitting at halftime was
wonderful. Incredible.
Amazing.
But I saw
he retired, didn't quit. He retired.
Quit and retired, yeah. But I saw something more amazing. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was a highlight of the University of Colorado game. When the mascot got his hands in the t-shirt cannon.
No.
Did not see this.
Went to shoot a t-shirt. And on the clip, I think you can hear someone say he's got it backwards, fired the cannon, and shot a t-shirt right into his nuts. And proceeded to drop the cannon, fall on the ground, and everyone laughing. It's the best. If you haven't seen it yet, go on Twitter. Just look for Colorado mascot and t-shirt cannon.
Hey, you know what?
Get it. It's hilarious.
I'll find it and retweet it on our own Twitter handle. And there you go.
It's good enough that it made me think that was more important than the Vontae Davis retirement at halftime. So I just want to encourage you to go watch that.
The Vontae Davis thing was really funny. But I will say, if we don't get this thing started, Doug's going to end up retiring in the middle of this podcast.
That's right.
Depending on traffic. So anyhow, we'll jump right into the weekly recap. We're going to start off with just the worst game of the week. The green team is terrible. Let's just put it out there. Bless them.
Oh, that's Sean's the best game? That's the best game of the week?
The worst game of the week.
If you're bless them, it's not.
Yeah. So bless them. Doesn't score a lot of points, 105. But good thing for him is he played Brian's green team. They're green because they're new to this, evidently. Because they put up 73.1 points. My favorite is he's rocking Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell on the same team. Now, granted, they're not both on the bench, but he picked the wrong one.
Yikes.
Sean got 17 points out of Drew Brees.
Just say something about that.
Sure.
I went for the double on here. So if you may remember week one we talked, I sat Drew Brees. He put up 36 points, and Cam put up, I think, 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
So this week I flipped the script thinking, okay, they're at home in the dome. Brees put up 17.6, and Cam went haywire and put up almost 35. So I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, moral of the story, never play a quarterback against the Browns.
Correct.
Hey! It's about time. It's about time that that's there.
You should have bought into your own hype.
I will say, spoiler alert, Doug picked up Cleveland's defense in another league to play this week. So,
and they were drafted in our league.
Yeah. Well, They were, and they're pretty good. Yeah, they're probably better than the defense. They'll probably score more than the defense.
And number five takeaways. And number five scoring defense in standard fantasy leagues right now.
So, anyhow, I just, gosh, he just had a bad game all the way around. I'm talking about the green team. Demaryius Thomas. Does anybody not believe in Demaryius Thomas? Like, I don't believe in Demaryius Thomas.
I do not.
I believe ish.
So, like, this week he'll score 1.8, I mean, next week he'll score 18.
Doug's kind of agnostic.
He's, half points?
He's got 10-plus targets two consecutive weeks, which, I mean, it's hard to find that volume. I saw something earlier today. He's, like, fourth or fifth in the NFL in team's target share percentage and, like, last in the NFL in yards per target.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help at all.
He's getting all the short routes.
Which is funny because he's 9 feet tall, isn't
he?
Yeah. So, and then Pierre Garçon, I don't think he can be started in any league.
He had a touchdown called back last week, too, didn't he?
Either week one or week two, he did.
Yeah, I think it was last. I think it was his past game. I was watching it.
He got banged up a little bit last week, too. He missed, I think, an entire series. So.
I will say it on Sean's team. I love his wide receivers. I think Kenny Galladay is going to end up being a top 15 wide receiver this year. Mike Williams, if he can continue to get targets, the only problem is he's playing alongside Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. But I do like his wide receivers in that.
Yeah, thing for me on this matchup, I mean, still no Le'Veon Bell for the green team. Just absolutely brutal.
Which if you saw his latest Twitter,
yeah,
good grief, he's put on some poundage, guys.
Especially since he doesn't have Connor, and, you know, last week lost a lot of points with his quarterback, left Stafford on the bench at San Francisco. So just tough for him.
As a Browns fan, Isaiah Crowell is who we thought he was, by the way.
No surprise.
I think so. Yeah, he had that one long run last week, but he's come back down to earth. When you're splitting 50-50 with Bilal Powell, things aren't awesome.
Not going to be good. It's going to be a bad week for him this week.
Yeah, I think every week's going to be a bad week for him. He may be the first team ever to go winless.
That'd be something.
Maybe.
The Ofer.
I think I'm going to make a new rule. If you go Ofer, there is no dead ass last like playoff anymore. You just get it. Like, there's the playoffs done. You went 0-14 or whatever, you're done.
Bring it home.
So,
no doubt.
Which is good news for the next team we're going to talk about. You have to say what your team name was because you've already changed it.
I think it was Craft Beer Sucks, Give Me a Coors.
Yeah,
is what the team was.
I thought it was Kajuiced Whistle.
That was week one.
That was week one. Yeah,
we're
changed it.
We're going to have a new team name every single week. So the Fighting Zeeks win this one 133.5 to 90.2. Rides a huge game out of Kirk Cousins, 42.5 points. Juju Smith-Schuster gets in the end zone again. Joe Mixon gets hurt, though, so that should be interesting how he runs this week. But still got Carlos Hyde and a couple other good pieces. Here for the beer is going to struggle, I feel like, most of the season. I don't think Dalvin Cook's the guy that everybody thought he was going to be. Brandon Cooks is good, but I think he's going to struggle all year long. He'll win a couple, but he'll be vying for last place, maybe.
And then I still don't believe in T.Y. Hilton either, so, I mean, even though Andrew Luck's back, T.Y. Hilton has just never been a real consistent wide receiver.
But is
week
Andrew
in and
Luck
out.
Back though? Really? I mean, he looks
good,
but he's done. He's getting.
He's at least throwing the football.
But he's throwing these dump out routes though, and if he wants T.Y. Hilton to be a real threat, he's gonna have to go vertical.
Yeah, I mean, T.Y.'s performed so far this year though. I mean, I think he has like 10 plus targets in both games so far. He scored in both games.
When Luck was healthy, they were dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, I think as Luck kind of eases into the season, I'm probably higher on Hilton than most people, but I kind of like him.
I will say, you know, Indianapolis did win. They beat Washington, and we all picked Washington to win that game.
That was a big win.
But I think he gets better weeks out of Lamar Miller, too. I think that didn't go well for him. But.
Can we also talk about the fact that your boy Kirk Cousins scored 42.5 points?
Yeah,
this past week. I mean, that is unbelievable for a quarterback.
Yep.
He literally doubled a great performance by Jared Goff.
Huge game against Green Bay.
I think it was just a tough week for Josh because, I mean, Dalvin Cook, Miller, Antonio Brown, Adrian Peterson all kind of underperformed what their projection or expectation would have been. So
Yeah, Antonio Brown usually week. Against a KC defense, you think, I would have thought he would have gone over 25 this week. I just think Dalvin Cook is sharing too many carries.
Well, I got a question for you. It's kind of, I know it's weird, but is fantasy-wise Jared Goff too good? Like, are the Rams too good to where Jared Goff is not as valuable as we think he is?
No, I don't think. I mean, I don't think it's got anything to do with that. I think
you got Gurley. I mean, I think they use
Gurley in the red zone. That's
Gurley's going to get all the goal line touches. Well, but 21.4 points. I would take out of my quarterback every single week, and if he does that every single week, he's probably going to be the number one quarterback, unless he's going against Patrick Mahomes.
To piggyback off that, I do think. You may not get the highs and the lows of a Patrick Mahomes or a Kirk Cousins or whatever, but you are going to get the consistent production, I believe, week in and week out. In fact, I had Jared Goff last year, and he was so good and consistent that I kept him on the bench along with Carson Wentz and just traded him out where I thought the matchup looked better just because Goff was that consistent.
Yeah, I think you're going to get very consistent performance out of Goff.
And one useful tidbit on Dalvin Cook. He is last in the NFL in yards gained before contact. So
doesn't help anybody.
That means his offensive line is doing absolutely nothing.
But worse than Saquon Barkley?
0.8 yards gained contact.
I mean, that's like not even falling forward.
Yeah.
He's getting not good.
Basically getting hit at the line of scrimmage.
That's tough. And he also has a hamstring issue.
Correct.
Right now too, so it doesn't help things.
2 feet. I said 8 feet. I can't count. 2 feet past.
You were told there would be no Matt.
Yeah,
be
no Matt.
I actually like Matt. That's weird.
So, moving on, we'll go to the Fat Bottom Girlies take on Biscuit in Your Pants.
What up, Fat Bottom Girlies? We gave him a lot of crap last week, and they came out.
We gave him a ton of crap last week, and he got a good game out of Deshaun Watson, fantasy-wise, with 25.8. DeAndre Hopkins puts up 19 and a huge 25 points out of the Bears defense because Russell Wilson looks terrible.
I'm going to hate defense points for the whole season, so just get used to it.
Yeah. Well, I get it. The Bears did score a touchdown. They've got a fumble recovery, an interception.
Their defense was amazing.
They didn't allow a whole lot of yards.
Six sacks.
So, yeah, six sacks.
They had five in the first half.
12 points out of sacks. Khalil Mack is the real deal.
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Correct.
I was actually watching that game thinking I would have traded two firsts for Khalil Mack for the Browns in a heartbeat.
He
and
is
maybe more.
Game-changing good.
Yeah.
My favorite play of the year so far, Khalil Mack takes Deshaun Kaiser's lunch money.
Just rips it right out
straight,
of
there. Straight Debo. That's my ball.
As he's falling down, he hands the ball to Khalil Mack and then picks up.
Also, fun fact for you, the touchdown that Oakland scored on defense, forgot who got the interception. He was a guy that used to play for the Giants, I think. Has not had an interception.
Prince Mukamura.
Yeah, that's it. Hadn't had an interception in 3 years. That's his first one.
Holy smokes.
Yeah,
and I think Russell Wilson has not thrown a pick six in his entire NFL career.
He looked bad. He looked real bad.
Well, he's on the run every single play, and they have no run.
Bad O-line, no wide receivers, no running game.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And Deshaun Watson showed up for him as well.
I mean, I think
26 points almost for Watson's incredible.
My comment that I wrote down for this game was, Bill's team rises from the ashes with two middle fingers raised to the sky and declares he is not yet dead.
He's not yet. Well, the Bears defense declares he is not yet dead. Yeah. Literally, the Bears defense that's the difference in the game. 25 points. Unbelievable. But I think Biscuit might have some trouble going. His wide receivers are good, but... Saquon Barkley he's the guy I think that they wanted. The problem is I don't think they have the offensive line that he wanted.
Yeah.
And then Royce Freeman is being supplanted by Philip Lindsay, an undrafted free agent. First guy in history to be undrafted and go for 100 yards in scrimmage his first two games.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I think too, something to point out is that Kelsey is going to be a monster and that it might be wise for him to look for a good trade for a couple other positions for Kelsey because I'm just being honest with you, I'd probably take a member of Kansas City's offensive line at this point without their scoring points, and I think Kelsey's going to be that important down the run to somebody.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, anytime you have
even Sammy Watkins. Holmes. Sammy Watkins has value now.
Well, I'm worried about Sammy Watkins still. He's still good, but it's been one good season or one good game. The problem is there are a lot of mouths to feed in that, and Kelsey and Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt are going to be the first ones that we feed. But I did want to talk about a little bet that was made again for Rashad Penny and Chris Carson at the draft. There's been a little confusion. I don't really care how it's resolved, but Rashad Penny is 1 point behind a cumulative 3 weeks Chris Carson. Chris Carson, who was drafted by the gentleman to my right, is in the fourth round?
Left.
Fifth round? Right? Did I say left?
Oh, right. No, you said it right.
That's yeah,
right.
Then Doug pointed like Zeke and I didn't know how to do
that. Yeah. It certainly was not in the fifth round.
I'll have to look back at the draft and see.
Can you remind us what the bet was?
So the go ahead.
The bet was, I would have to read the text.
Go ahead.
That we sent when we booked it.
Well, just give the general nature of it.
My understanding of the bet was who scores more points between Rashad Penny and Chris Carson through 3 weeks of the season.
Oh.
Yep. So Carson has a 1 point lead on Rashad Penny. It turns out, apparently, Joseph's understanding of the bet was all Penny had to do was outscore Carson one of the first 3 weeks of the season, which
I feel like you would not have made that bet.
I never would have made that bet.
Yeah.
So
I will say, so after texting with Joe about this, back and forth trying to figure everything out, because I told them both that I was full of booze at that point. So I'm talking about me. My interpretation of the bet was, hey, we have a bet. I love fantasy football. Joe's interpretation the whole argument was Penny will supplant Carson after he gets back from injury. He said, no way. Carson's lead back all year. I said, before week three, Penny will outscore Carson 1 week. He turned around and said, no way. Deal. Done and done. That was a quote from somebody else who had a little too much to drink, and everybody in that room probably took from that bet. So I don't know. I think the overall bet, when you look at that, I'm looking for the text now, it was just...
So go ahead. The text that was sent, I sent it to our league ordinary gentleman group text. I said, Carson versus Penny, week three for a Bond Street bottle, book it. So I never interpreted it that way. I'll pay the bet before I flake on it, if that's what his interpretation was. But I would think a reasonable compromise would be whoever scores the more points in week three alone. Mm-hmm. So Carson has a 1 point lead, so I'm giving up some equity if it was done my way.
I think it's a good bet. I think it's a good bet.
Joe, we've made that bet for you. It's not official.
Yeah, that's gonna be the new official bet.
All right, sorry. Thanks for taking
your
time.
No, you're fine. So I just wanted to bring it up because I always love betting. Anyhow, we'll go on to the game that I don't want to cover. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson takes the deplorables down 142.5 to 120. He gets a huge game
out
of Patrick Mahomes. 41.8 points out of Mahomes, and 32.9 out of Stephon Diggs. So I don't even want to talk about this game.
41 from Mahomes, that's nuts.
41.8. Minus two out of my defense. My kicker gets hurt in pregame warmups.
I actually have Tim pulling back to Earth with the F just to make Zeke happy.
Back to Earth.
Welcome back to Earth.
Back to Earth today.
Back to Earth.
I think, you know, like I said, I think I'm still going to average 140 a week, which I'm not going to lose one game. That's just not going to work right. This game didn't work. I got beat. It sucks.
Doug actually almost played his ideal team. I actually looked into that. I think that was one wide receiver he could have played.
Yeah.
He could have played Will Fuller, and he would have beat you by more.
And that was a mistake in hindsight. In five games that Will Fuller has played with Deshaun Watson, he has been the wide receiver 6, wide receiver 8, wide receiver 21, wide receiver 3, and wide receiver 6 overall.
They have a great
hashtag research.
He has been lights out when he plays with Deshaun.
Yep.
Yeah. So your wide receivers are really good. And if David Johnson can put something together, if that Arizona defense can block for him even just a little bit.
They suck so bad.
That's very bad.
And they're not using him as a wide receiver at all this year, which I never...
And my question is, I am so tired of hearing about Baker Mayfield needing to be starting Cleveland. Why is there nothing? Like, I'm not seeing everybody in the world talk about Josh Rosen, are they?
They are talking good about grief. It. Absolutely. It's just because Arizona's in Arizona. You're not hearing
well, like and they've paid the human ace bandage, Sam Bradford, so much money. Right. They're trying to bring that contract out as much as they can.
It's rough when, well, I mean, we can get into this in a little while with NFL games, but it's rough when the constant communication is who's the worst team, the Bills or the Cardinals? Because
not for Browns fans.
Historically bad teams.
Yeah.
Both those teams are.
So.
Yeah, after that beatdown last week, my only recommendation is that you change your name to the Low T Soy Boys going into next week.
Well, please change my picture if we're going to do that.
No, everything's staying the same.
I'm a deplorable. I'm not a Low T Soy
Boy. Every now and then, teams got to lose. Just is what it is. So I'm just getting out of the way now. So, game of the week. The reason we saved this one for last. Game of the week in closeness, not game of the week in a lot of points scored. 102.9 to 102.1. The No Talent Ass Clowns take down Ezekiel 25-17.
It is the closest game we've ever had in the history of the league.
In the history of the league. But it wouldn't have been so close if No Talent Ass Clowns played Matt Ryan instead of Aaron Rodgers. Which, I mean, Matt Ryan against Carolina. I guess you always play Aaron Rodgers, but he was in Minnesota.
I disagree. This... for the foreseeable future, just because Aaron Rodgers doesn't have an ACL, so he can't put any weight on his knee. So I'm no doctor, but from what I gather, once you tear it, you can't do any more damage to it. So as long as you aren't
well, they said he didn't tear it; you just strained his MCL or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's no tear.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Of course.
But regardless, whatever you've done to it, you can't do any worse to it. So as long as he can throw off of, you know, shift his
he
weight to the different knee.
For sure.
Yeah.
But, and he's always thrown off his back foot anyways, his whole career. So
yeah. I will say, though, is in his year that he was hobbled by a calf injury, it was his best year as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because he could stand in the pocket and deliver.
Right.
So
the only criticism you can have of playing, I think, of playing Rodgers over Ryan is they were playing Minnesota, which is
yes,
just,
correct.
And Carolina's defense is no bueno.
Yeah,
but in addition to playing Matt Ryan instead of Aaron Rodgers, there's another play he could have made to make this game not so close, and that is to play the drafted Cleveland Browns defense, which is number 5 in standard scoring, as I said, and has played 2 soon-to-be Hall of Famers, and one of them in a dome in New Orleans where Breeze scores massive amounts of points. So, just saying, that was an 8-point swing. Lots of turnovers, lots of sacks. Myles Garrett going to eat.
But if he had the Texans, I mean, the Texans were like the popular defense last week going up against Blaine Gabbert. So,
yeah.
Who threw 2 incomplete passes in the same possession, by the way.
I didn't see that.
Correct.
That. Yeah.
Correct.
That could have been your best thing to do.
I don't know how that happens, but all right. So
great game, boys.
So that was a good week 2. Look forward to week 3. So we'll deep dive into that real quick, and then we'll move on to what we think is going to happen in the NFL. We're going to start with No Talent Ass Clowns at Biscuit in Your Pants. So No Talent Ass Clowns, again, as Aaron Rodgers at Washington, I just think Washington's underperforming. They got beat by Indianapolis last week. I think Aaron Rodgers has a good game. But he's got Tom Brady. I don't think Josh Gordon plays and with Biscuit in Your Pants. I don't think Tom Brady gets a chance to throw to Josh Gordon a lot. But I'm taking Biscuit in Your Pants in this game just because of his wide receivers. And then Leonard Fournette still being questionable and being hobbled. So I'm going with Biscuit in Your Pants.
I think it comes down to whether or not Fournette plays. That'll be huge one way or the other. Brady going to play in the dome at Detroit is going to be huge. And you know that him and McDaniels know every possible thing that Patricia can do on defense. So that's what it really comes down to for me. And then Kelsey could be in line for a monster week, but San Francisco has done a good job limiting tight ends over the last year or so. They picked up this guy in the draft last year named Jaquiski Tartt.
Jaquiski.
I wanted the Browns draft him because I love his name.
Yo, what up, Jaquiski?
Jaquiski.
He has been shut down on tight ends.
Everything is advertised.
But he left last game with an injury, so he's questionable for this week.
I also like Keelan Cole. Did you see that catch he made?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I think Keelan Cole is going to be.
It'll go down as catch of the year.
Yeah. That's kind of like the one that he gets a book deal off of.
Yeah, Keelan Cole. I think that No talent icons have issues at Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette with being questionable. Melvin Gordon's starting to lose a little bit to Eckler. If Eckler's healthier than Gordon is, I think he gets – I'm not saying it's going to happen all year, but I think this week I think Eckler gets used quite a bit.
Used some fab money for Eckler this week.
I noticed that. That's a good pickup.
Yeah, I had to.
Yeah, also, I like the Biscuit pick as well. I didn't until I looked at it again and realized half of his team was hurt or questionable. Made a great point about Tom Brady against Matt Patricia. I had not even thought about that. Yeah. That's a game changer. Yeah.
Detroit's really bad anyway, and with them knowing exactly what's up, it's going to be terrible. But yeah, four Qs and a suspended, not that great.
Yeah, not looking good for old no talent. Next, we're going to go – I was going to go to a different game, but I think I'm going to use that as the game of the week for obvious reasons when I get there. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson, taking on Ezekiel 25-17 is going to be the next one we talk about. I don't think this is going to be close. Ezekiel is using Tevin Coleman, which I actually like Tevin Coleman, but Matt Breida I don't see a whole lot of names that excite me. But then when you look at the other, you got
Pat Mahomes.
I'm even going to skip David Johnson because I don't think he has a great week this week. But Jordan Howard's going to get his this week. Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. Will Fuller against a bad New York Giants defense.
I mean, the matchups are stupid.
George Kittle against a bad Kansas City defense.
Your toughest matchup is that you have the Chargers D against a good Rams team. And even all the other teams that you have, even if it's a decently good team, their defenses are terrible. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're offensive firepower teams. So, you should win this 190-75.
Blowout.
I don't think this is going to be close at all.
Again, Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, so. I mean, he couldn't have a better matchup at San Francisco this week. One of the ads that I was happy about this week was picking up Corey Clement because Dan has Jay Ajayi, so it was a nice little block there.
Yeah.
I probably won't end up starting Clement, but I just didn't want Dan to have him.
So. Playing 40 chess there, aren't we? Yeah. I like it. Well,
I don't know. I could see using Clement over Alex Collins.
Yeah, it's possible. So. I'll have to kind of see like what their plan. If Ajayi plays, then obviously it's a no deal. Or if Sproles plays.
I think he's got – sorry, go ahead.
I was say what you're also seeing with Dan is that you're putting a lot of hope in Wentz, and he's a great player, but that first week back off of an ACL is always a little nerve-wracking. He's got to get hit a couple times first.
Well, and if you look at – and I was going to talk about it in our picks, but if you look at the Indianapolis defense, they play Tampa 2, so they're going to take away a lot – and they've played very well 2 weeks into the season, so they're going to take away the passing game, and – you got to think that Wentz is going to be a little shy to run the ball, so they're really going to shut down the two big things that Wentz can do.
And then looking back over, talking about shutting down the big players, I think New England is going to shut down Golden Tate. He's the number one target for the Matthew Stafford offense. Mm-hmm. I think Golden Tate has a rough day because New England just knows how to take away that guy, and there's not a running back for them to take away. Kerryon Johnson is the best they got in the backfield, but for some reason they still like LeGarrette Blount. So,
he's got, and his backup is Luck. So he just doesn't have a good
matchup. I think Golden Tate's just got a rough thing coming. Next, we're going to go to, so we're all agreeing on that. Okay.
Big week destroyed.
Yeah. So, Fat Bottom Girlies go to take on the Taint Blisters. Yeah. Trust the process.
Whew.
So,
this is going to be a game.
This should be a fun game to watch. Giovanni Bernard, I think, is a big game for Fat Bottom Girlies. DeAndre Hopkins, I just got a notification that he is now listed as questionable, I think. Just changed to questionable. And he's also going against Janoris Jenkins, who hasn't been great this year, but he's going to get shadowed. But he's got Julio Jones
in New Orleans. Crushed last week.
I was going to say,
they made him look stupid.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, he's going to be better. Yeah. But Julio Jones in New Orleans, who historically beats the junk out of New Orleans, too. But then you go conversely against Taint Blisters.
Yeah, can I say something about this? I'm sorry, and I know I'm interrupting you, but when I look, so my note here was each team scores 120 plus. But then when I look at the Taint Blisters, Kirk Cousins against Buffalo, Ezekiel Elliott Seattle, Hyde against the Jets, Hill against San Francisco, Allen Robinson against Arizona, Smith-Schuster with Tampa Bay is okay, but Rudolph against Buffalo, Michelle against Detroit. this is going to be like a week for every one of those guys they're going to remember forever, because those are incredible matchups.
Well, I don't like Sony Michel a lot just because I don't like a whole lot of people in New England, in the New England backfield. But yeah, Kirk Cousins is going to shred Buffalo.
But when New England goes up by 25, they're gonna run the ball, and that's when Michelle's gonna get up his carries.
Just some garbage yards, but yeah, either way,
you gotta. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it works in fantasy.
Tank Blister's got to hope for it, but yeah,
I think he's gonna score 140 plus.
So who do you, I'm gonna let you guys pick first. Who you got winning this one? Doug, would let you go first.
Oh man, this is a close one. I think I'm gonna go with Bill's team though. The only reason being, Deshaun's real issue this year has been with protection. The Giants average, they're last in the league in sack percentage this year, 1.7% sack percentage. So he should be standing back there all day, plenty of time to throw. But I for me, this one probably comes down to whether you get the decision right between Sony Michel and Chris Hogan. I think that's a important decision.
And I think if Chris Hogan has a big week, it's going to be one of the last ones. If Josh Gordon plays the way that he can, I don't think he gets a lot of snaps this week. But I'm gonna go with Bill's team as well. I'm gonna go with Fat Bottom Gurley's to go.
I'm going with Zeke. I think they're both, like I said, gonna score above 120, but I just think Kirk Cousins, he's got two guys against Buffalo who score a lot of points, and even the Sony Michel pick I think plays well for him too. I don't think it's gonna be close.
Like Tony Romo, I can't call against my own team. You know what I'm saying?
So next we're gonna go to the brothers battle of the deplorable going to take on Blessum. This one should be another good game. On for the deplorables, I'm worried about Phillip Rivers playing in Los Angeles. Everybody else, I'm kind of okay with. Jimmy Graham, I think, is going to continue having a good time with Aaron Rodgers being hobbled. There's going to be a couple of small decisions just when it comes to wide receiver, but you know, bless him. Sean's got a good matchup with Drew Brees going to Atlanta, Kareem Hunt going to San Francisco. Michael Thomas is always a good pick. Kenny Galladay is turning into a wide receiver one. And then the Vikings defense going to Buffalo. I think he's going to have a good game, but I mean, I can't pick against my team.
Again, I hate the defensive scoring, but this week I'll take it.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be
big for you all year. Yeah. The Vikings.
Correct. It is. Correct.
Yeah, I'm also not going to pick against my team, also because I genuinely think that I'm going to win. So I'll take my second win here.
So my question is, are you planning on running out the team as you have it?
No, I haven't looked at it.
That's okay. A good question.
I think I got to switch my tight end.
Because that was my question.
I was going to ask you.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you about the crop top tight end. That's who I was most concerned about.
Yeah, no, Njoku's got to produce. I'm going to let him produce before I go up. So I'm in between Stills, probably going in there for McCoy too, because he's questionable and McCoy has shown me nothing and they're playing a tough defense. So I think I actually need to go ahead and change up while we're sitting here.
Yeah, like for me, I think you can do a lot to upgrade your team based on where it is now. Like the Jets have allowed 3 receptions for 31 yards to tight ends on the entire season, so that doesn't bode well for Njoku. And then also Mike Williams at the Rams going up against Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, that's not a good matchup. So, you know, those are two things to consider. I mean, me personally, I would run Josh Gordon out there before Mike Williams.
I said the Josh Gordon thing is hurting me right now because I don't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
So. And I've got too much personal angst, didn't
you? And you kind of know what you're going to get out of Stills. They're going to take a couple deep shots to him. If he catches them, he'll be great. If they're incomplete, then it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Yeah, so we'll figure it out. Who do you got, Doug?
I'm going to go with the deplorables. Going to take the favorite.
I'll take one.
I hate to say it.
You're all done.
You hate to pick between either one because you got both people sitting here, but if I had to put some money on it, that's where I put the money. And then I know this isn't my show, but do we have to pick between the Stanky Bowl?
The game of the week.
The Stanky
the two
Bowl.
0-for-2 teams that have scored the least amount of points. I don't know who to go with here. If he's going to trot Russell Wilson out there against Dallas, gosh, I'd. here for the beer? Sure, why not?
Green team is boom or bust this week with their matchups, but I think that the linchpin is going to be Lamar Miller against the Giants. I think Houston's going to get up again, and then Miller's going to run like crazy.
Your game is riding on Lamar Miller, is what you just said.
I'm just going to go with.
It's going to be the difference.
Going with here for the beer because, as of right now, the green team is playing two running backs that play for the same team. He's got all power and Isaiah Coyle. So here's to 8 touches apiece and 13 yards.
The worst handcuff running back situation ever.
Yeah.
Well, here for the beer's got Cook and Miller. I guess that's what I meant to say.
There's some better options on waivers for the green team.
Yeah, I've never seen one take a handcuff of a team where both of them were outside of the top 32.
Right.
It's pretty impressive.
And I mean, having Dez Bryant on green team's bench is really a game changer.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's really, still there. He's still there.
He's going to get signed, baby.
He thinks he's coming back.
A genuine free agent.
I'll take here for the beer.
Here for the beer is going to get their first win. So anyhow, I'm going to let Sean take over for picks. I just want to go over real quick. Last week, Doug and Tim tied at 8-7 for their NFL picks. Zeke goes an astounding 5-10. Sean goes 6-9. I gave none of us a loss for Minnesota because they tied. So why should we take a loss?
Nice.
So 8-7-1.
So yeah, but that's right.
Just throw that one out.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Time, whatever.
Well, here we go. So let's get to it kind of quick. So New Orleans at Atlanta. What do you think? From my notes, I put Julio and Matt will score 48, but Breeze and Thomas will score 50. That's kind of how I think it's going to go. I'm taking New Orleans.
I will take New Orleans and the under 53.
I'm taking Falcons and the -3. I think New Orleans.
Just to be clear, we pick straight out.
Yeah, yeah. We're just picking heads up, but I think.
Yeah.
I'm dropping the line. Even if it's just my own picks, I'm dropping the line for the degenerate gamblers out there. Okay.
So, I'm going to go with, I don't even know who to pick. I'm going to go New Orleans. I'm going New Orleans because I think Michael Thomas is the best wide receiver in the league right now.
So, the brothers have New Orleans.
Alvin Kamara is going to go crazy.
You're New Orleans as well?
I've got Atlanta.
So, Zeke's going with Atlanta. All right. Green Bay at Washington. I don't believe in Green Bay because their defense. Washington, surprising. I think Washington is better than a lot of people think they are. So I'm going Washington rather.
I'll go with Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm going Green Bay because Washington lost to Indy last week.
Me too, Green Bay. -2.5.
Right on. Indianapolis at Philly. We've got the return of the quarterbacks. Wentz versus Luck. What do you think happens?
I'm going to go with Philly.
I'm going to take Philly as well in a route.
I'm taking the Eagles, but if I were betting, I'm taking the Colts +7 because I think they cover.
I agree with that.
I'm going to take Philly only because I think Wentz has more talent around him minus T.Y. Hilton, and the home field is just going to play into it this time. That crowd's going to be pumped to have their MVP back. Oakland at Miami. Oakland has been outscored in the second half, just to throw this out there, 43-7 in two games. Outscored in the second half, 43-7. I'll give you one other big thing. Can you name, you will be able to now with context, one quarterback who has been 9-1 in the last 10 games?
Ryan Tannehill.
And Case Keenum, the other one.
Not only 9-1 in his last 10 games, 8-2 against the spread in his last 10 games.
There you go. So where are you going, Oakland or Miami, straight up?
Miami.
I think Ryan Tannehill's running well, too, so I'm going Miami.
Miami -3, and it's a body clock game. Yep. 1 o'clock.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'm actually going to take Miami as well. I had Oakland highlighted by accident, but it was actually Miami because that Oakland terrifies me of 43-7 in the second half. Whoa, brutal. Denver at Baltimore. I said in mine, Case isn't done yet. I hate Baltimore. They're fakers, so I'm taking Denver.
I'll go with Denver as well.
Go Denver. I don't think Baltimore can guard their wide receivers.
I wish I could go differently, but I'm taking Denver in the +5.
Yeah, I think Baltimore has just had some good matchups and lucky games. I just don't think they're that good. Cincy at Carolina. Zeke's should be home team since he likes the Hornets so much, but here we go. I got Carolina at home. Mick Cafe is on fire. Can you keep it going?
I worry about Cincinnati's defense. They have a really good defense. And
that front seven's mean.
And I don't know that the Panthers have it. I picked Bengals, and they're plus 2.5, and I took the Bengals and the points.
Through 2 weeks, the Bengals have allowed 18 receptions for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns to opposing running backs. I will take Carolina straight up.
Oh, great point. Nice.
I'm taking Cincinnati. Red Rifle is going to – A.J. Green historically performs better away from home, and he's going to get another 2 touchdowns.
Dougie, I'm with you, Carolina. I just think McCaffrey, as I just thought he was going to be called this week, is too good.
Yep.
Too good, too fast, and he will – play into the thing that Cincinnati will have a problem with, which is over pursuit, because their front seven's that good, they'll be in too quick. Watch for the screenplays. The Giants at Texans. The Giants are terrible. Why did OBJ sign for more than this year? No one knows, but who are you taking? The Giants and the Texans.
Texans. I got them minus 7.
Texans defense outscores New York's offense.
Yeah, I'll go with the Texans as well.
Yeah, all the way. That's a straight
easy
four.
Easy pick.
And this is a surprise. If you go look at the NFL power rankings, you'll find that most of them have a brand new number one. Jacksonville, who welcomes Tennessee into the Panhandle State. What do you guys think, Tennessee at Jacksonville?
I think for the betting line, I think this is – it feels like a sucker bet. I'm doing the betting line. It's even. And I find it hard to believe that the Jags are even at home against Tennessee.
That's crazy.
Correct.
Even?
Correct.
No. Crazy. It hasn't been posted yet. That's why.
Even.
That's insane.
Anyhow, I'm going Jacksonville over Tennessee.
It's Jacksonville straight up.
Tennessee's getting shut out.
Yeah, if Jacksonville, what I put down here is that if Bortles goes 300 and has 2 to 3 touchdowns, they don't lose again.
I'll go Jacksonville.
I mean, I would take a minus 7, but yeah, definitely, definitely.
San Francisco at KC, Mahomes, Hill, Hunt, Kelsey. You know you can wrap that together? Super Bowl. What do you think?
Kansas City for me, not even close. I think this is the week that Kareem Hunt gets off the schneid. That's a big week.
Who else?
I hope Kareem Hunt does not get off the schneid this week. I hope Tyreek Hill has all the touchdowns. And I hope Patrick Mahomes throws for all the touchdowns. But Kansas City is going to win this one. Going away. It's big time.
Yep.
I've got KC, and I hope that Hunt has 5 touchdowns, because that would be great. In fact, I want to say this too. November 4th, I gave thought to going to the Cleveland game until I found out KC was coming to Cleveland, and now I'm scared. So, moving forward, Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh. Or, I'm sorry, in Tampa Bay, excuse me, with Pittsburgh. What do you think?
Any man that can show up to a press conference with that much swag,
it's magic.
I will never look bet great. Against.
I'm telling you.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I'm going Tampa Bay with Fitzmagic. Anybody who can stand up there and say, no, the Chester was all mine, is a guy that I'm going to root for.
I like Tampa Bay as well, and that's an even money line.
Yeah, that's a guy who's loose. We all know Fitzmagic is good for 6 games. This is the 3rd game. Pittsburgh D sucks, and what I love as a Browns fan is it seems to – they're kind of imploding. Everybody's mad at each other, which I love. I'm going to take Tampa Bay as well. Then what I think could be the game of the week, the Chargers at the Rams. I think that we've got 10 Charger fans who are going to leave kind of sad. But what do you guys think?
I'll go with the Rams.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams. I don't think Los Angeles' defense is going to be able to hold up to Todd Gurley and company.
Which defense? You said Los Angeles.
Sorry, the Chargers.
They're still San Diego.
They're still San Diego to me. Yeah, I think Todd Gurley has a couple of touchdowns again. I think Los Angeles has a rough time.
Yeah, like
Los Angeles Chargers has
there
a rough
you
time.
Go.
Rams win.
I like the Rams minus 7.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams. I just think Goff and Gurley are just way, way, way too good. Dallas at Seattle. Zeke's boys playing the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle.
That
what do you think?
They shouldn't even televise that game. That's going to be an awful game.
It's going to be terrible.
It's going to be miserable.
well, there's a lot of 14-year-old Seattle fans who will want to see it. So,
the line is even. I will reluctantly take the Cowboys. Reluctantly,
I will take the Seahawks. Close matchup, but I'll go with the home team.
I'm going to go with the Cowboys just because Seahawks playing bad football. I think Dak turns it on this week.
I'm taking Seattle. Let me tell you why. Because Seattle has never lost a home opener under Carroll. Never lost. And this is their home opener after 2 weeks on the road. And I think they're going to be real upset about what happened to him last week. Three more games. Chicago at Arizona. Arizona has 6 points in two games. That is not a misprint.
This isn't even a...
Six total points in two games. Is anybody taking Arizona for anything?
Nope. No. Chicago and Khalil Mack hurt Sam Bradford this week.
Yeah.
I'm with Doug. I think you see Josh Rosen at some point.
To give you a little bit of more information there, Chicago has scored more points 8 minutes into their first game than Arizona scored all year. So that's terrible. Khalil Mack, Chicago by 100. Anybody disagree?
Nope.
No.
All right. New England at Detroit. What do we think?
New England.
Yeah,
New
we
England.
Already picked this.
New England. -7.
Yeah. Brady's 14-2 since 2012 after a loss.
Matt Patricia does not coach a good team.
And then the Thursday night game, is this the week that the victory fridges are unlocked? Boys, what do you think? New York Jets at your Cleveland Browns.
Crack open a Bud Light. Get the win this week. If they don't, y'all need to move on from Mr. Hugh Jackson. Just end it. If you can't beat the Jets.
Correct. Yeah. I think Hugh's on the hot seat if he loses this game. This is a very, very winnable game against a rookie quarterback. I don't think Carlos Hyde is a big game. I think they pop the top off the offense and they start throwing deep to Antonio Callaway. And I think Jarvis Landry gets his first touchdown. I'm going to say that Cleveland wins by 14.
Wow. I do think they win. The line's -3, but I do think Cleveland gets their first full win in 2.5 seasons.
Four picks for the Browns. I'll say this. Cleveland should be 2-0 with a kicker. And after this game and next week, they would be 4-0. Their defense is -5. It's just too much for any rookie. Sam Darnold is going to be very good, but he's still going to be easily confused with pre-snap reads. So that's it. Browns win by, I'm going to say 13. I think 27-14 is your score.
One game that you did skip, and I only bring it up for the degenerates out there. You skipped Buffalo at Minnesota.
Oh, I did.
Buffalo.
Did they? I thought you did.
Buffalo is a 17-point underdog. You typically, as a bettor, you typically always take a home dog if they're +7 or anybody who is more than 14-point underdog, you take the underdog. You would be flushing money down the toilet if you took Buffalo at the +17.
Yeah. I'm taking Minnesota. Yeah, I don't care about the points.
Buffalo Bills implied point total is 12 for that game.
Nice.
That is amazing.
12
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking like a 48-10 game.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored on the purple side of the field. But, hey, guys, thanks again for joining us this week. Again, like the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Leave a comment. Just give us 5 stars. And follow us on Twitter at TLug1.
Go Browns.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.